gotta leave your money behind you. Raise your hand to the sky. Ask the masses for silence.
Welcome back to Give Me Some Truth. I'm here in the booth with Clint Walkner, and this is Jonathan. And excited today to talk to you guys about a cool topic about business valuation. But as I was getting ready, it's been a little while, Clint, since I've been on a podcast. So I kind of wanted to get a little hot take from you, if that's okay. So
let's do it.
So normally Nate's my hot take guy when it comes to music, but Clint also listens to music, and I figured you would have a good thought. But better version, Tracy Chapman, Fast Car, or Luke Combs, Fast Car?
I mean, this is a great one, by the way. And I've been hammering the Luke Combs version of Fast Car because I absolutely love this track. I mean, the original is so good. And there's very few times where I think that the cover stands up and is equal to. And I would say that it's perfectly equal to. I don't know if one is better than the other. Luke Combs, that kind of like gravelly voice that he has, just does a great job on it. It's a little strange when you have to think about, okay, this was a female that sang the song, and then all of a sudden you have this male gravelly voice, but I think it's well done. What do you think?
I totally agree. I'm a huge Luke Combs guy. I was shocked to find out that he didn't make it to the TV show on air for The Voice. And I would say he's probably my favorite male country voice. And I think the gravelly does it, but I love Tracy Chapman's version. I remember just going home and watching MTV as a kid, and that would be on, and it was so different than everything else that was on. And there are people out there that have their problems with a country guy doing a song that she had written, but I think they both do it justice. The reason I asked today, though, is I actually got teary-eyed today, and I saw a video clip, as you know, with our son being a Make-A-Wish child with Jakin, but it was actually a kid named Cooper that was up on stage, and his wish was to sing a song with Luke Combs. And so I believe they were at Gillette Stadium, but they sang Fast Car, his favorite song, and they did one of the choruses of it. And it was like the whole crowd was like helping the kid along, and Luke Combs was singing but letting the kid sing. And it was just a moving moment, but it really got me thinking coming in here, though, is like that made me love the song from Luke Combs even more, but did it pass Tracy Chapman's? And so I think they're neck and neck now, but it was definitely something that, it was one of those things that just kind of moved me today and kind of hit me. The other thing that happened today was I went in to buy coffee at the Quick Trip, and I saw the, you can buy alcohol if you were born on this day, 7/25 in 2022 or 2002. And I'm like, man, like that's crazy to think about. And then I realized my son's going to be 21 this next week. and like that made me feel really old there when I saw that thing there. So my two random thoughts, but I appreciated your hot take, and but we'll get into it. I'm like I said, I'm excited to talk about business valuation and to chat with you on some of your thoughts too, because we've been through this with our firm before. Yeah. and with some of our clients we work with.
So. Yeah, we've done a business valuation. We had to do that when we brought together the partner group, a little less so when you came on as a partner. And then we had this big event where we added four partners to our partner group. And so we had to all get involved in the business valuation process. And, you know, as a business owner, I think a lot of business owners go through a period of time where they don't know whether their business is worth 300,000, 3 million, or 30 million. And I think that's where, you know, you can go through the really formal process of it. And usually that happens when an event happens. But I think that it's nice to have that on your net worth statement and an understanding of approximately what your business is valued at. And now you have some tools to be able to do that, which I think is great.
Yeah, I know for me, I started to get interested in it coming from a company that you work for as a W-2 employee and then becoming an owner and a partner here with you guys. And going through that process, but then seeing clients of mine that were business owners, that when we would sit down and talk about what is your exit strategy? Well, the first step in exiting a business is really having a triggering event where you determine that, like, I would like to sell out or you know, to be bought out or transition our company. And then after that, there are certain steps that you want to complete. And one of those, and very important one, is a business valuation. So I found in talking to clients or people out in the community that were business owners, if you ask the questions, you know, what's your business worth? A lot of times they just, they think a number off the top of their head of what they believe it's worth. And truthfully, it's really only worth what the market's willing to pay for it. And it could be valued differently to different types of buyers. So for example, exiting a business, you first have to determine what's the right exit for you. Is it, do you have children in the business if you own it and then you want them to take over? If that's not an option, or if it's not the best option for you, it may be a merger acquisition with a competitor, or somebody in the industry that's looking to grow and wants to take your business over and continue to grow it. Or it could be private equity, either in a majority or a minority position to help grow. And each one has different values associated with how the buyer would perceive it. And there are things that we can do to help to increase that business value. But that process of getting a business valuation is you can either do it through an outside company or a firm that specializes in this. We have some software here that can help with clients that if they want to know, you know, what is my value of my business versus other competitors out there that are in the marketplace that I'm in, to give us a rough idea. But the more you drill down in it, it's about culture, your story of your business, what is the data and the financials look like, and being able to get all of that together and be able to put it, you know, into the algorithm and calculate it versus maybe a multiple out there, it helps you to determine what's the best strategy for you. So I know we went through it. You've said you've been through it 3 times now, I believe, right? For business valuation.
We have. Some of those were back of the envelope. The last one we did was truly more of a deep dive where we had to compile so much data and write statements to certain things. And then they came up with the valuation, and that's how we determined partnership values. And we had to be very transparent about the process because everyone had to sign off. We really needed a unanimous vote on it because we were adding the new partners, and we did. And so it was very critical that we got it right that time. Other times was more of just kind of seeing where we stood. And we have been approached numerous times too about being acquired, and which we had very little interest in, but we were at least able to figure out what the perceived value of our firm was.
Yeah. And I think that perceived value is important. But knowing, you know, it's where you're at today. And if you go get a business valuation and you find out, wow, I got asked what I thought my business was worth, and I thought it was worth $10 million, and the business valuation comes in at $5 million, that doesn't necessarily mean that's exactly what it's worth. It just, that's, you know, through the data and information that you have, and now you have a choice, and that's, can we do things and implement strategies to help to bridge the gap of where our perceived value is and what we'd like to be at versus where we're at today? And the companies that and business owners that sit down and really pay attention to this and try and figure out where's the profit gap and where's the value gap within my company, it could be, you know, expenses that are not being categorized correctly, and maybe you need to recast your EBITDA, or it could be we're focusing on something over here that isn't as profitable, and we want to make our company on paper, we want it to be something that shows is more profitable, it's more value. Ultimately, would you be surprised about this, but 70% of business owners that sell their business regret it a year later.
Wow, that's quite a lot of buyer's remorse.
Well, it is, but the number one reason why is because they didn't do enough in the process of learning what their actual value was and enough research into what their options were for how they could actually sell it. So for me personally, you know, here at Walkner Condon, you know, we manage a lot of individual households and clients that are working towards retirement or even college savings. We're doing estate planning. We're doing a lot of that individual planning. And then we have business owners we work with. But there is going to be $10 trillion over the next 15 years that transitions hands because the baby boomers own the vast majority of small businesses in this country. So the exit strategy for them is important because if you don't have an exit strategy, it's going to be at your death. Because as an owner, the business is going to either fold up or move on without you. So being able to sit down and have these conversations, I felt was something that was important for me. So, you know, I had approached you guys about getting a SEPA designation, which is Certified Exit Planning Advisor, through an organization that focuses on training up and educating advisors on the key important things that are happening in here and how to be a value add to your clients and people in the community that need help with transitioning and exiting their business. I know that, you know, we don't always talk about it, but we have seven partners here and every single one of us is going to have an exit from this business at some point. And having an exit plan is probably the most important thing, and knowing what everybody's goals and everybody, even if you're at different ages, it could be different exit strategies. So having that key important thing, that business valuation process, when you sit down and you get as much data as you can and put it together, you really can get that core idea of what is my company or our company worth. And it's maybe good to get two or three different ones. I think at least two, so that you can compare, because they could be wildly different. And being able to, like I said, you share your story and to be able to talk about the culture that you have, the key employees that are there. One of the other things too, I know we're talking business valuation, but it's the process of it is really putting together a plan of action and communicating with the team that you work with and the employees about what your intentions are. Because hurt feelings can happen a lot, or when people are shocked to find out, you know, the owner walks in one day and says, "Hey, we're selling the company." Well, for many of these people, this is their livelihood and it's a huge change to them. It could change their compensation structure. It could change their benefits and maybe their long-term goals for what they wanted to do for retirement. So being able to have that communication, you know, we've grown here. I mean, you guys started with just the two of you. And when I came on, I think we had one other employee. Now we have 12 working with us. So if you can talk a little bit about that too, from the growth side and how you start to look at it with the communication with the people who work with us.
Yeah. I mean, it's strange when you have to talk about succession so young into your business, but there's a bunch of different things that can happen. So most people think just about retirement, right? We say, okay, you're going to retire. You're going to ride off in the sunset. You're going to sell your business and try to get the maximum amount of money for that. But there's so many different things that can happen along the way that are unintended. So, you know, somebody could pass away or they could become disabled. And those could be situations where you have a forced sale and it could be at a fraction of the price that you could have gotten. And with prior planning, you can help minimize the damage to some of that. And, you know, then there's also, you know, many people, 50% of marriages end in divorce. And so that can have a big impact on the business and, you know, how the shares get freed up there to pay the divorcing spouse and how that all works. So, you know, like in our document, you got to write up things to protect the shares. They don't actually go to the spouse, but the spouse gets the financial reward in the divorce decree. So you got to work around some of those things and you have to plan for all of those different things because they're all very normal things to happen during the course of life. When Nate was sick, we had to look at some of the disability clauses and what if he couldn't come back, and thank God he did. But there are situations where you've just got to plan for every single thing. And then, you know, as you get more mature in your business, you know, essentially, and this is what Nate and I have to do, and to a lesser extent, some of the other partners too, is that we have to start to cross train people. We have to let them be part of our business. We have to kind of set up our own succession and make ourselves actually, in a weird way, less valuable to the firm and others more valuable to the firm as we get more aged in our careers. And as we are, you know, kind of transitioning out and others are transitioning in, you know, and then find out what the goal of the firm is. You know, is the goal really for all of us to someday get acquired by a large company? And the answer to that is ideally no. You know, I believe that we want an internal succession plan here. Mm-hmm. That's been the plan. As Nate and I started, and then as you got added, and then as other partners got added, you know, I think we all believe in the internal succession so that we can keep Walkner Conan going as long as we possibly can. And I think a lot of business owners probably want that, but they also want the value out of that too. So if you can set that up and put that down a path, you can achieve that, but then you have to hire the staff to be able to do that as well.
Yeah. And it's not something that happens over 1 week or 1 month period of time. You know, I always think about like, what is the time horizon and how much does how long should you allot for a good exit from a business? And really the initial, like I said, that triggering event, generally once you're out, you're ready to go within a year or two. And I think that leads to some of the seller's remorse of not enough time. So putting together, You know, whenever I thought about a five-year plan, I always thought about the movie Big Daddy, when, you know, Adam Sandler's character was just never doing anything with his life, waiting on a big settlement, and his girlfriend broke up with him and started dating this older guy, and she said, he has a five-year plan. And he goes, what is it? Don't die? And I thought it was hilarious at the time, but, you know, 20 years ago when I saw that movie, but, you know, a five-year plan, I mean, when you start to think out that far, it's hard to think about what the future is really going to look like. But in a good exit, you should be forward-thinking and saying, what are the things that we need to do, not just now to drive profits, but to deliver value and excellence in your service? There are businesses out there that want to sell, but they, like, the name on the business and the main owner drives all the revenue. And as soon as they retire, it could fall off, you know, almost completely. And so although the business is very valuable while it's running with that person there, if you don't have a succession plan in place, or you don't have a transition plan to where you're sold that you're actually moving those customers and clients that produce the revenue into situations where they're continuing with that service, it could really end up negatively. So, and I know for us, the number one thing that we do here is provide a value to our clients. And that's through great financial advice and us continuing to educate ourselves. But every business out there, whatever their avenue is trying to be the best at what they do and deliver that and create profits. A company that's not profitable is a company that won't be around for very long. So eventually you have to be profitable. And then how do we transition those profits, if you're a small business owner, into a value of equity and an exit out of that business? That 30% that loves it, I believe the vast majority of them, it wasn't just about the money. It was that the transition plan was in place and they executed on deliverables that were put in place long before the transition. So
I'm shocked to see how many people lack any sort of succession plan, even deep into their careers. Mm-hmm. So when we have conversations, and we have a fair amount of conversations with, you know, outside financial advisory firms. And, you know, one of the questions that we ask is, you know, what's your succession plan? What are you thinking? As we run into other advisors, and a lot of them are like, I don't know, you know, just kind of, we're trying to figure that out, but at some point we'll do it. And you need to do it well before that. You need to be doing it now, at least having a plan for all those different events that I talked about, death, disability, divorce, that's potentially going to happen, and then retirements in the future. But you got to set up everybody to be able to obtain that retirement that you want. So, and the same thing is follows for every business too. We need to do that planning ahead of time. And I think that's why it's a great thing that they meet with you, go through some of those tools, go through a preliminary business valuation, figure out, you know, where do you stand right now, and then start to cobble together a plan. And then, yeah, you might have to spend a little bit of money and be able to set up some of these legal documents. But then in the event of certain events, you can just execute the document. And I think without that sort of emotion and catastrophic situation, you can execute a lot better in those.
Yeah. And I'm excited as I continue to do more with this within our firm and with the clients that I'm talking to and ones that I will meet in the future, through learning more about this and being out in the community. I'm excited to see people get to that exit day and feel happy and not have regret because we had the conversations and we put those deliverables and things in place. Because whether it's private equity or merger acquisition or family, you know, somebody whose daughter is a financial planning major and gonna graduate, you know, from college in a couple of years here with her CFP, you know, test passed, I have no doubt that she'll be able to do that. I get excited about the future because I'm not working for a large corporation, although we, you know, our firm is a large firm. But we're small and closely held and in the ownership. I think about, would one day my succession plan want to be her transitioning in and having a child who loves this and is passionate about it and talented and can add value. But if I didn't have any kids, that's not an option. Then you look, there's going to be an exit somewhere. So I want to be able to help people when they get to that day to be happy about it. And I know at some point in my life, whenever that exit is, I hope it's not a sudden one where I didn't choose the date. But if I got to choose it, these are the things that I'd go through, the conversations that you, me, Nate, and the other partners would all have. And I really believe that this is an area over the next, like I said, 10 to 15 years, that it will be more talked about, and especially from the transition portion of it. It's going to be more important to those owners to have these conversations, and it's something that we have here at our firm, and I'm looking forward to being a big part of that. So,
yeah, exactly. And so I think the steps that people need to take really are to, you know, gather up some of your documents, get your data going, figure out, you know, kind of where your balance sheet stands. Hopefully you all have that done. And then, you know, sit down, meet with John or meet with somebody else in our group. We can help give a business valuation as a starting point. And then we can get the conversation started a bit more about that and see where you stand, see where some of the holes are, and then we can help assist you in kind of putting together a path, because that's just one of those extra added things that are all part of overall financial planning. And when we get that accomplished, then you'll feel more comfortable about where your net worth stands. Because ultimately we really care about, you know, what does your personal balance sheet look like? And then what does your corporate balance sheet look like? And how does that all fit into your net worth and your asset planning for the future? For many of these business owners, you know, and we're a big part of this too, one of our biggest assets is a future asset that's going to hit our net worth at some point, and that's going to be when we eventually exit the business. That's a big part of our own personal retirement. If you have your own business, you're thinking the same thing. So let's figure out what that number is so that we can fit it into your financial planning. So I'd schedule an appointment with John, especially with John, because he's a SEPA, but anybody else in our organization be able to assist as well. But I'd suggest you meet with him. And then we just start going through that, get a valuation, and then, you know, start the conversation. So thanks for taking the time to go through things with us in our business valuation podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them with us, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. And we'll see you again on another episode of Give Me Some Truth.
Wachner Kahn Financial Advisors is a registered investment advisor with the SEC. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training. The opinions expressed by the participants of this podcast are their own and do not reflect the opinions of Wachner Kahn Financial Advisors. All statements and opinions expressed are based upon information considered reliable, although it should not be relied upon as such. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for any individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Thanks for listening, and for further information, please visit WachnerKahn.com.